right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Cool, good. All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast. Your host here, James from near Oxford, who's a white guy that's obsessed with Britpop and talks about it too much. And I'm very excited today to be joined by James from near Oxford, white guy that talks about Britpop too much. How you doing, man?
Hello, mate. Hello, how are you? I'm good, thank you. Yeah.
I'm very good. Yeah. This is, if you don't know, this is Britpop Memories at Britpop Memories on Twitter. Although you are branching out into the other parts of the
world. Oh, I've got my finger in all the pies, mate. All the pies.
Yeah. Are you Britpop Memories across all of them?
Yeah. Well, that was one of the reasons I did it earlier. I was like, oh, bloody hell, I better quickly do Britpop Memories everywhere unless some practical joker tries to nick it and, like, you know, start putting up photos of shampoo or something, you know. Naming no names, but we all know who I mean.
No, we do not need any shampoo in our Britpop. Thank you very much.
No. Absolutely. Yeah.
We lived through the Britpop years. They were not Britpop. Anyway, how do we get onto that straight
away? No, already done it. Bloody hell.
But anyway, yeah, so all good. This is an exciting, yeah, as the leading Britpop historian out there, I suppose it's an exciting time. We're looking back 30 years for the 30-year anniversaries and stuff. So a big year coming up.
Yeah, 95, isn't it? I mean, that's I think it's my favourite Britpop year. People ask me this question, and a lot of people say 96 because of, like, Nebworth, and I suppose that's probably, like, the famous peak, probably. But for me, 95, I think, is the most exciting year because it sort of slowly starts off in 93. 94 is, it sort of really explodes. You get, like, Definitely Maybe, Parklife, all those sort of albums. 95, it's sort of in, it's in its groove, and it's just like, it's just coming at you thick and fast. And I think what I'll probably find as I do the 30th anniversaries this year, working through the week to week, I think it's just going to be so much stuff. Yeah. I mean, I can remember from doing the 5 years ago, it's brutal. It's nonstop. I'm trying to set up all the posts. It just takes so much time because there is so much good content. It's going to be such a great 12 months.
Yeah, like literally every week. I ended up stopping it, but I was really annoyed because I really enjoyed doing it. But I was doing that Britpop, what did I even call it? The Britpop, like, 30 Years On podcast. And I was like looking back and doing it like every month. You know, like looking back month by month, and I really loved it. Britpop history, isn't it? I called it.
That's it. Yeah,
forgot what it was called. But yeah, and it was like certain weeks. I sort of built like a bit of a timeline. I think you helped me out with it as well. Like a bit of a timeline of like, okay, what came out on each week. And there's some weeks when you go, oh my god, like, you know, four legendary singles and two legendary albums came out on the same day, and you just go like, oh my god,
I think we forget just how much was going on literally every week of those I would say the peak years, like 94, 95, 96. Just, it came at you thick and fast every week. Every Monday there would be, like you say, there could be at least two or three great singles, a great album. And, you know, it's just, it's very hard to explain, I think, now to the youngsters, to the youth. I just don't think they'd understand, like, what it was like. Top of the Pops could be, like, five bands that you would love.
Yeah.
Like, for 3 weeks on the bounce or something. It was mad.
Yeah.
Such a great time to be young, wasn't it?
And then a bit of Spice Girls as well.
So, oh, yeah, and the Spice Girls, yeah.
I didn't mind them. And the All Saints.
Jerry and her Union Jack dress and all that. Yeah, okay.
It's cool. And so, well, look, and in the world of, like, obviously Britpop carries on, and it's a, you know, it's still there. It's, you know, we're seeing all these articles and stuff about, like, oh, it's a Britpop revival and things. It's like, well, I think we get one of those articles about every 6 months for the last 5 years. But, you know, there is still, it's still coming round. And obviously got a very, very big year for the old Britpop bands, with the Oasis reunion first thing, plus a few other reunions going on.
Yeah, I mean, well, what a year it's going to be. I think once that Oasis tour starts, I suspect, I mean, the press are already ramping it up, but I reckon the first night Oasis hit the stage, it's going to go absolutely ballistic. It's going to be, I think it'll be like a massive Britpop summer. Although some of us have been living a Britpop summer for the last 30 years, but you know, I think it's going to go big. It's going to go big and it's going to go hard.
Yeah, I mean, I called it the summer of Britpop. I was just looking back, and I did my kind of episodes, like looking back over the last year, and yeah, and I called it the summer of Britpop this year because, like, what was it? Who was touring? Like, everyone was touring. Yeah, we had Liam out, we had Pulp out, didn't we? We had like Suede and the Manics playing together, so there was like everyone was back out again. It's like, and but yeah, but obviously they're all big, and like Blur doing Wembley and things like that a couple of years ago, who were absolutely amazing. But yeah, I think Oasis being Oasis, it's just like everyone else is like this level, but then Oasis is like the news glow on Saturday Night Live in America, like another level, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the moments where I think there's probably going to be like another new young generation come through. Because I think if you look on Twitter and other social media at the moment, there's quite a big amount of 20 something kids who are really into Oasis. And I think this big summer of Oasis reunion and all the other stuff that's going on, I suspect we'll see like the next little mini generation coming through, like your 15-year-old kids are going to suddenly want to be Liam Gallagher. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Going to be good for you, mate. You get loads of new listeners.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh,
But do they even know pocket? I've got to get on TikTok, mate. That's what I've got to do, isn't it?
jeez.
That's
Yeah.
is that a little bit beyond you, or are
We're
you
too old for this,
doing the
mate. We're too old
TikTok?
for TikTok.
Too old for TikTok. I know. I know. Although that guy that does Oasis WTS, the Irish guy that I met down in London, he's the king of TikTok, and he's older than we are. So, you know, I think
All right.
it is feasible, but yeah, I haven't got my head around it yet.
I haven't got enough time in the day to be doing a TikTok as well. I've got enough bloody stuff going on.
Being the oracle. But anyway, the big question is, have you got tickets for Oasis?
And you know the answer to that. We're not talking about it. No, I haven't. No.
Womp womp. So
So
what happened? Tell me your story.
I was on holiday in France when the tickets went on sale. And myself and my wife were both like, right, we're having a day at the holiday. Like the holiday camp, we were just gonna like get these tickets, and we just dialed in, and it was, as you can imagine, it was mental. I think we joined the queue. I mean, like dialed in straight away, and like joined the queue like 300,000 back or something, whatever. It just never moved, and then we sat there all day, both myself and my wife, and like multiple phones, all the tricks of the trade, and just never got anywhere. And then finally got through it towards the end, like 5 o'clock in the evening or something. And then, like, they'd done the dynamic pricing and it came through, and I was like, nah, balls to you. I love Oasis, but I'm not getting stitched up for it. I'm not getting stitched up. Get lost. And now I've had a couple of people message me privately on Twitter saying, oh, I think my mate's selling a ticket. But trouble is, if I bought one ticket, my wife would divorce me. So I've got to find two, and I might just see what happens, like, as the summer approaches, whether there's suddenly a bit of a they're moving on tickets on like Twickets or whatever, or whichever the legitimate one is.
Yeah,
So no, I haven't got tickets. Thank you for asking.
that's all right. I thought I'd rub it in. Now,
Yes, nice.
it will be like I've been saying to people, like, you know, when it comes to it, when it comes to the summer, you always get such a big drop off, don't you? And like, you know, even if it's a 1% drop off, well, when there's like 2 million tickets, like, well, that's 20,000. So I think as long as you're, you know, on it, if you want to get there, you'll get there. You know, enough people will drop out that, you know, and being like, and we're lucky, aren't we, having the sort of the profile that we do. Like you said, I've had that a few, like, oh yeah, that sounds like my mate, you know, because I always reply to everyone on Twitter. If I people my DMs are open, I always reply to people's DMs and email. So, you know, people, you know, really feel like they know me. And so it's like, oh yeah, James, you know, you can come. And so yeah, it will be there, you know, believe, like when it comes to it, you'll get there if you want to get there. It might cost you a few quid, but you know, if you
Yeah.
want to get there, you'll get there.
Yeah, hope so. Hope so.
Also, what did you think about the announcement for the support bands for Oasis? So it's Cast and Richard Ashcroft. I thought that was quite interesting. What do you reckon?
This is what I thought they should do, frankly. I thought they should make it a big 90s event. And I had a couple of people saying to me, oh, no, this has to be the chance for Oasis to like really plug some new bands, get them on stage. And I was like, yeah, I know what you're saying, and I it would be nice, but I think these gigs, I think they should be big 90s events. And I was really pleased actually when it was Cast and Ashcroft. Yeah, that's a good lineup for me. I thought maybe they would get Ocean Colour Scene, but Cast and Ashcroft. I think that's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be amazing. And again, for the younger fans who perhaps haven't seen any of those bands, it's gonna be such a great day out for them. Such great. I mean, they're such great live bands as well. And the only risk, well, I mean, Oasis are so great live, aren't they? But Cast are a brilliant live band, and Ashcroft is awesome live. I mean, his live shows are epic. So I think Oasis are going to have to really come out all guns blazing, because that crowd is going to be absolutely fired up and ready for action. So
No, I
they set
agree.
themselves a challenge there, and fair play to them.
No, I don't think it's going to be quite the Prodigy at Nebworth levels, but I
No.
think Cast and Ashcroft. Yeah, I saw Ashcroft supporting Liam at Finsbury Park.
Yes.
Were you
Yeah.
there?
I was, yeah.
I don't know if I did
I
I
don't think
see.
I knew you at the time. That was a few years ago now, wasn't it?
Maybe. Well, we would
We
have
hadn't
been.
met anyway. We hadn't met in real life, that's for
I met
sure.
in real life. All right. Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. And he was only, it was just him and the guitar, wasn't it? He was wearing his
Yes.
Sparkly Cardi that
Yeah.
he loves. And I did think it was really good. Like I enjoyed it. But it's obviously a little bit different when it's just acoustic. Whereas I hope he'll have the band with him, and so
Yeah.
it will be good. Yeah, I get the point. Could you give younger bands a go or whatever? But ultimately, this is a celebration. Like Noel said, it's like a final lap. It's a victory lap, isn't it? I mean, whether or not it goes on to they do more tours and albums and whatever, ultimately, I think it's you've got to just assume that this is all we're getting, and it is a victory lap. And therefore, if you're doing the victory lap, you just want to bring your old pals for the victory lap, don't you, I suppose?
Do you think they might add a couple of smaller bands onto the lineup closer to the time? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, normally when you do a Wembley gig, it's like normally two, isn't it? I don't think it's not like it's a festival where you have where it's
No.
like,
No.
it's normally like gates at four and then first band's on at six, next band at seven, and then the headline band on at like 8:30. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll
Yeah,
see.
I'm just thinking like Oasis Wembley was 2000 was like Doves and Happy Mondays. 2009, I think, was like Kasabian and
Sabian, the
Kasabian the
enemy.
Enemy and Reverend of the Makers, I think. So that was three. So we'll see. I don't think so. I don't think it will. I mean, maybe like Liam will get a Jeans band on there. Villanelle. But
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know what Uncle Noel will say about
yeah, exactly. I'm gonna probably veto that one. Yeah.
that.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I do hope you get some tickets, mate. We'll sneak you in. I'll sneak you in. But surely the amount of work you do promoting Britpop, the world of Britpop must, as I said, the gods of Britpop will smile on you, I'm sure.
I like to think so. I like to think so.
You'd like to think so. Cool. One thing I was gonna, following you, I love the fact you post all the old like enemies and melody makers and things from back in the day, and it's just really great to follow along. And one of the things, well, as we're in the new year now, and it was like, we're doing all your sort of New Year's round, New Year previews, previous year roundup and things. And it was really lovely to look back at your like the Reader's Poll 1994 that was published in early 95. And I just thought this was fascinating to look at because, now we kind of look back based on the 2024, 2025, view. But actually, when you look back at what people were actually choosing, I think it was quite surprising, actually. It's quite interesting to me. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. So, I mean, for instance, let's just have a look. So this is Melody Maker. So we've got Best Band, Manic Street Preachers,
That's not a
which.
massive surprise if you think Simon Price, one of the lead writers for the Melody Maker, is basically the biographer of the Manics and is a Welsh Valleys boy himself, massive mate of them. I mean, he pushed the Manics pretty hard in 94. They had a lot of interviews with Richie, rest in peace and all that. So yeah, it's not a huge surprise that actually come the poll at the end of the year, after that incredible Holy Bible release at the end of August, and then all the sort of the tour and everything. Yeah, that's not a huge surprise. I guess maybe to the uninitiated, they would probably be a little bit surprised that perhaps it wasn't Oasis. And if it had been an Enemy poll, it probably would have been Oasis, I think. But yeah, Mannix in the Melody Maker seems like a natural fit, really.
I mean, I always remember there was like, because they were the band, especially was they were like, because that album is so powerful as well. It's like, remember they used to joke like Mannix fans was like a joke, and it was like because they write in their diaries in intense black ink. That's the one things I always remember about it from the time.
Yeah,
Like,
wearing their black nail polish or
yeah, exactly.
whatever.
Like, cry. It was the typical like goth teenage or emo, what we'd later call
Oh,
it. But
they would
yeah,
have
that
been
was.
like, yeah, one of the early adopters of emo, yeah, without even sort of actually, thinking that and not even aiming for that. But in hind again, hindsight's a wonderful thing when you're running a Britpop account because we know what happens. But yeah, I think emo possibly comes out of the Holy Bible, maybe.
No, definitely it's huge, isn't it? It's huge. I know it's a massive influence on a lot of the My Chemical Romance and a lot of those bands that came later. So yeah, huge. But yeah, so then the rest of the top 10, you've got Oasis 2, Blur 3, Suede 4, REM 5, Nirvana 6, Elastica 7, Pulp 8, Echo Belly 9, Smashing Pumpkins 10. So, for what we talk about, when we talk about like, oh, especially those people that are a bit more snobbish around Britpop and they talk about like, oh, well, it was really special in 92, 93. By the time you get to like 94, 95, 96, it's over. Like, no, what's really interesting is that it's a few of the main bands have broken through by the end of 94. But look at how American music is still really popular. REM, Nirvana, Echo,
Smashing
and Smashing
Pumpkins.
Pumpkins all in the top 10. It was still absolutely huge. And I probably my most album, my I only really got into Britpop at the end of 94. I mean, my most listened to albums in 94 would have been, I mean, my Spotify Wrapped for 94. You've been Nirvana Unplugged, Green Day Dookie was a big album for me, Offspring Smash. Like I really liked that. I was really into a lot of that rockier stuff, and it was only really near the end of the year that I was sort of with Cigarettes and Alcohol and things like that I really then got my mate lent me a tape with definitely maybe on one side and the B sides on the other side, and I really got into them. But no, absolutely. A lot of those, you know, especially that Nirvana Unplugged album, that's an amazing album.
Man, Nirvana Unplugged is one of the finest albums of all time, isn't it? And it's just, I mean, obviously this is going off my subject of expertise, but I mean, I started out my sort of teenage music journey myself, i.e. not listening to my parents' stuff. Nirvana was that first band that I was sort of introduced to by slightly older mates, a lad called another James, actually a lad called James, who lived in the same village as me, was a massive Nirvana fan. And when I was first getting into music, I remember chatting to him at the bus stop before school one morning. I was like, oh, can you lend me like some Nirvana, because like it's obviously cool, because that's all the kids are listening to. And he lent me his tape of Bleach randomly, which was quite a harsh introduction to Nirvana. And then shortly after that, he lent me Nevermind. And then from there on, obviously, I then sort of became my own sort of Nirvana fan, and I got In Utero, and then Unplugged. Obviously, it's a tragic story the way it plays out, but Unplugged seems like a really good way for Nirvana to finish, as wrong as that sounds.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great album, and it's Kurt is so good on that album.
Yeah.
The singing, the emotion, the rawness, everything.
I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone, a long, long time ago. Oh no, not me. We never lost control. The face to face.
Yeah, so 1945, it's still massive. We're still fighting the Americans to really get our own thing going.
Yeah.
So yeah, Britpop isn't quite the all conquering by that point,
No.
although it is getting there.
It's getting there. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And then we've got, yeah, best LP, when Park Life 1, Holy Bible 2, definitely maybe 3, Dogman Star 4, Unplugged, Nirvana Unplugged 5, REM Monster 6, Hole, Live Through This 7, just had Dummy, of course, remember like the trip hop scene as well. I was surprised about this. St. Etienne Tiger Bay at
Yeah,
9.
that's a bit of a curveball, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Beastie Boys Ill Communication at 6,
Yeah, that
which
sort of
is, yeah,
makes
once again,
sense.
great album. Yeah. But yeah, that was interesting. And I looked a while ago, I did sort of a Britpop album sort of ranking. I got everyone to rank to rate the Britpop albums. You know, you get, you know, put them all out there and got people to score them on you know, on a star
Oh
rating.
yeah, I remember you doing that. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And so I did that. I was just looking to compare, actually. Like, so how did, when we did that, how did it come out? Now, obviously, this is Britpop only. So, for instance, I didn't include the Holy Bible in that. So, when I do Britpop, I will include Everything Must Go, but I don't include Holy Bible as a Britpop album. I just don't
Okay.
think it's a Britpop album. I think that the Manics are a Britpop band, and I think Everything Must Go, I definitely count. But Holy Bible, I just think is too, you know, too dark and stuff, I think, to
Yeah.
officially
Yeah.
Britpop. But yeah, I mean, our rankings was definitely maybe first, Park Life second, His and Hers third, Dogman Star fourth, Up to Our Hips the Charlatans fifth, Jollification, Lightning Seeds, that's not in there, Change Giver Shed seven, that's not in there, Homegrown Dodgy, Everyone's Got One, Echo Belly. So there's, you know, there's so many other ones, like These Animal Men, Wanna Die's Beer Girl. You know, there's plenty of other kind of Britpop albums that could have made that top 10. But yeah, so I was surprised about St. Etienne.
I'm surprised that Saint Etienne are in there, but Pulp, His and Hers isn't. I would have thought Pulp, His and Hers was, well, it's certainly a better album in my opinion, but I would have thought that it would have had more coverage, and Jarvis was already becoming a bit of a celeb as such. So I'm surprised that they haven't made the top 10.
Yeah, and because they're in best band as well, so how come they're in eighth in
Yes.
best band and they're
Yeah,
not
where's the
in
logic? Yeah.
LP? Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, there you go. That's Melody Maker's readers for you, isn't
Yeah.
it? And then we got best single. So Oasis, Live Forever, one, Supersonic, two, Connection, three, Girls and Boys, fourth, Faster by the Manics, five, which is great, Park Life by Blur, six, Veruca Salt, Seether, seven, which is interesting, that old Riot Girl movement. Love Spread, Stone Roses. Of course, we had Stone Roses' Second Coming in 94.
Yeah, that's literally at the end of the year. So that would have only been out by
Yeah,
what,
very
a
true.
month by that point, probably.
Very true. She Is Suffering, Manics, nine. And then Stay Together by Suede, of course. Yeah, what an amazing track that
Well, and
is.
weirdly, Suede don't play Stay Together anymore because they don't like it. So the story goes.
Is that right?
But I actually think that's a really great Suede song. I don't know why they don't play it live, but
Yeah.
who knows? Maybe there's some politics there. I don't know.
But yeah, I don't think it's epic. You know, I'm not a massive Suede fan, but that's definitely one of my favorites. But it's interesting, yeah, that Live Forever, Supersonic make one and two, and yeah, there you go. So they did have the taste, they did have the knowledge of what was done the test of time.
Oh, Live Forever. Well, yeah, if you were to like say now what was the best single of 94, probably a lot of people would say Live Forever now. I mean,
Yeah.
that's
Yeah, it'd probably come up, Live Forever. That would probably be very, if you got people to rank, I mean, I don't think Veruca Salt, Seether would be making it. I don't think they've quite stood the test of time, but there you go.
no. It's a great song, but yeah, it
I can't
hasn't.
remember. I don't know, actually, off the top of my
Oh, is
head.
it? Well, after you finish this, play it because it's a cracking song. In fact, that whole album, American Thighs, is actually very good, so.
You do branch out and beyond.
Oh, mate, I listened to it all.
As long as it came out between 92 and 98.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it's like when I go, like, someone's like, you know, any sort of, oh, like, yeah, no, I don't really listen to the new bands. It's like, what, The Coral? They came out in 2002. It's like, yeah, it's a bit late for me. Best male artist. We've got Morrissey, number one, which makes sense. Weller two. Well, he'd had Wildwood. No, it was Wildwood.
No, that's 93, isn't it, Wildwood?
Yeah, so it was 94 before Stanley Road, isn't it? Is this when
Yeah, that's like the bit between.
we
He
get between?
toured live. He did, yeah, a lot of tours for Wildwood, so
Got yeah.
probably got him in.
Beck at three, which makes sense. This was the year of Mellow Gold and Loser. Michael Stipe four. So this is where you get the like the oh yeah, we can't really think of many solo artists. They go Michael Stipe. From REM, obviously. Warren G, the rapper, or the I don't know if he's a rapper or the singer, but he had that Regulate tune. Kurt Cobain, okay. Jeff Buckley, yes, an amazing album. Grace, Nick Cave, Neil Young, Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails.
Neil Young. I mean, crikey, he would have
Neil
been,
Young,
even
yeah.
at that point, he'd have been probably like,
19.
40, 50 years old, maybe.
And yeah, he would have been. I looked him up the other day actually because he's headlining Glastonbury, isn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely. I think he's late 70s now.
So
So
yeah, late 40s then.
yeah, late 40s. God, which oh my God, are we almost as old as Neil Young was in 1994?
We're getting there, mate. We're getting there.
That makes me sad. Best female artist, Björk, Kristin Hirsch. Who's Kristin Hirsch? She's
Lead
from
singer of Throwing Muses.
Sonia from Echo Belly, Tori Amos, Courtney Love, Justine Frischmann, PJ Harvey, Sheryl Crow, Kylie Minogue, and Dolores O'Riordan. So basically, like the singers from a bunch of bands, because
Yeah.
and Bjork, who's fair enough, you know, Bjork was the.
York was massive at that point, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was doing it's something I've done for my top 100. I've just something I've done for my patrons is like a. I've been putting together like a top 100 songs of all time playlist for me, and I was like really considering putting "Play Dead" by Bjork on it,
Oh,
and
yeah.
David Arnold, because I think that's
Yeah.
so amazing, that song. That's just one of those ones that just blows you away. Yeah, amazing stuff. Brightest Hope. This is interesting. Brightest Hope. Yeah. We've got Gene, number one, above Oasis. I suppose Oasis, you couldn't, they're not really a hope at the when they've already, you know, sold 6 million by the end of the year or whatever.
Yeah.
Oasis 2, Shed 7, 3, Green Day 4, Ash 5. Yeah, I suppose Ash 1977 hadn't come out yet, but it had like Uncle Pat and those ones, haven't we? That mini album they did. Is it Diesel?
Petrol,
that's it. Yeah, see, I knew. I was just trying to trick you. Yeah. Well done, you passed the Britpop test. Supergrass, yeah. They're just
coming through at that point, weren't they?
Yeah, they were 12 at this point.
with sideburns.
Yes, yeah, bigger sideburns than we could grow now, which is sad. Portishead and Echo Belly, a joint 7th. Baruch Assault at 9 and an Elastica at 10. So that's interesting, isn't it? But yeah, that Gene had been picked out as being so big. But what do you think of Gene? They were never one of the bigger ones for me.
No, I certainly wouldn't have them down as the biggest, brightest hope of 94, that's for sure. I mean, I really like them. I think their debut album, Olympian, is very good. Probably one of those bands that at the time I was like, yeah, they're good, whatever, and actually with time I've grown to like them more because the music's quite grown up.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't Brit pop as such.
Yeah,
it was quite grown up music, and actually as I get older I appreciate it more and more.
Yeah,
so yeah, but it's a surprise, I would say, to see him as the number one brightest hope of the year when you look at some of the other names on that list.
Yeah. Yeah, I never got on with them. I just think he was a bit... I didn't like the Smiths, really, until probably my 20s. I just never liked Morrissey's voice. And Gene, I just always felt he was a bit sort of Morrissey-ish and like a bit foppish and whingy, and I just couldn't get on with him. I liked Fighting Fit. I had Fighting Fit on like Shine 3 or something, and I liked that song. I can't say, Kim, too much time to waste.
Every band was like compared to the Smiths at that point, weren't they? If you were like a young band with a male singer,
yeah,
like someone at some point had to go, oh, they're a bit like the Smiths. It's like, really?
Yeah, especially if you had like a side parting or a quiff. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
If you had a fringe, then you're compared to the Beatles. If you got a quiff, you're compared to the Smiths.
Yeah, that's true.
Best live act, Mannix, which, fair enough, although it's interesting that you've got 50% of a band that can actually play their instruments there, to be fair. But which then, you know, which the percentage increased, you know, when Richie disappeared, but, to 66%. But no, I mean, I never saw the Mannix with Richie.
And no.
I was a massive Mannix fan. I remember my housemate at uni. He was, there was like bands that I'd seen, and I could say, oh, well, I got to see this band, and he'd be like, yeah, but I saw the Mannix with Richie, and I was like, you bastard, you know. But when did you see, have you seen them much over the years?
The first time I saw Mannix, I think they were headlining like V99 or something.
Oh, really?
And I was, again, Mannix is another band that at the time I loved the Holy Bible. Weirdly, because I was only like 15 years old, and it's a very dark album, isn't it? Very complex, but I really liked it. And then obviously they disappear for a little while, come back, and Everything Must Go. I liked the singles. I didn't buy that album for a very long time, and then I sort of got interested again around 99 when This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours came out, and I saw them headlining V99, I think it was, and really impressed by them. Yeah, really, really good. But yeah, not a band I've really seen much at all over the years.
No, that's interesting. I saw him a few times. I think the first, yeah, I think the first, no, the first time I saw them was at Nebworth.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sporting Oasis in '96. I saw them then, and then I don't think I saw them on Everything Must Go tour. I think the next time I saw them would have been on like the yeah on the same tour, the This Is My Truth tour, and I saw them a good few times. I remember seeing them supported by Ian Brown, and he was fucking atrocious.
Yes.
It's literally the worst singing I've ever heard in my life. Like, wow. I know he's famously bad live, but it was, you know, it was like, I can't actually believe this is as bad as it was. And maybe because it was, you know, not being a headliner, that he had poor sound or
He,
whatever.
yeah, it would have, yeah, it
Oh
would have
my
been
God.
brutal.
So terrible. So terrible. But yeah, so no, I've loved them over the years. And last time I saw them at Truck Festival a few years ago. It was funny because you're just surrounded by kids that didn't know, you know, I know that, you know, from Manics, because they did have such a devoted fan base, so they do have such a devoted fan base, you know, everyone is down the front clamoring for them, knowing every single word. That was my experience seeing the Manics. And everyone's dressed up, or you know, they're wearing their eyeliner and they've got their feather
Feather
boas
boas.
up. And whereas, yeah, then like watching a Truck Festival with a bunch of 15-year-olds who are like, who clearly haven't got a clue, you know, and it's like, have respect, you are in the presence of greatness, you little whippersnappers, you know.
Oh dear. God,
Yeah.
imagine that. Yeah, imagine not knowing much about the Manics, but I suppose yeah, they don't have a huge profile amongst the younger fans, I don't think. Not like Oasis. Oasis have always kept a profile, haven't they, for every age group that's come through.
Yeah.
But I think you forget, like, some of the what we think of the big bands, Suede and Manic stuff, probably don't so much, really.
No, it's funny. I don't think they necessarily have, like, just from Twitter, like the amount of like the kids that have like Liam accounts, and you know, and then you have that for Blur as well. You see a lot of accounts with
A
like
lot of Damon, fake Damon
Damon or
accounts on
Graham
there.
as their profile picture and things like
Yes.
that. So, you know, there's a lot of love for them, and obviously they're like beautiful boys as well, aren't they, for the young girls, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's
I think with the Manics, you do get quite a few sort of the more emotional teenagers who find out about the Richie story, don't they? And then they get interested in the myth of Richie and what happened. So I think you do see, again, you do see profiles with his photo as their avatar, or whatever.
Got you. You know what? A few years back, one of the I think maybe someone from BTS or one of the big K-pop bands. I think there was a big fashion show that used, you know, the famous picture of Richie, the famous for real picture of Richie. And yeah, and that was used in a fashion show, and then one of the like the K-pop. You know, one of the singers from one of the K-pop groups, I think it was BTS, wore like this jacket with that picture of Richie on it, and I'm like, wow,
Really?
really? Yeah, it's
I'm not
crazy.
sure that's appropriate.
I know it's not, yeah, but I suppose now it's like enough time has passed to be like that was like a crazy thing that happened 30 years ago. Whereas for us, it's like fucking hell, like you know, the self-harm and the fact he disappeared afterwards and stuff. But
Yeah, it still leaves a bad taste in the mouth, doesn't it? Even now, that because again, because we know what happened. Oh dear. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that anyone should be like glorifying that at all.
No. Well, there you go. And that ties in because Best Live Act is next. So they were Best Live Act, Manics, Blur, Oasis, Pulp, Suede, Corduroy at six, Best Live
There's a
Act.
curveball in there.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
They're
Yeah.
like acid jazz, aren't they?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, very much acid jazz. And like, who was it? So the singer from Corduroy. One of the guys from Corduroy was in a different Britpop band as well, weren't they? Can't think who it was now.
Not sure.
No,
Not sure.
might cut that out. We need to make it sound like we know everything, James. Elastica at seven, Shed Seven at eight, Terrorvision at nine,
Yeah, they
Terrorvision
would be very good live.
massive in '94 as well. That's another one that was probably the bigger album, you know, over Park Life or definitely, maybe for me, album of
Yeah.
'94 was How to Make Friends and Influence
Yeah,
People.
I love that
Love that
album.
album.
Yeah, that's a great album.
I think I went back to it about 5 years ago or something, and like I thought, yeah, I will listen to that. I haven't listened to it literally si probably since 95, 96, and I went back to it, and it didn't hold up as much. I think the production, I didn't really like the production. It was quite one of those sort of tinny kind of similar to like the Generation Terrorist album. It's quite a tinny sort of American-y production, but maybe it didn't quite hold up. But I think it's worth going back to. It's good stuff. Alice, What's the Matter?
Alice, what's the matter? Yeah.
10 Best Friend and stuff. It's good.
Middleman. That's a
Middle,
cracker.
you know what? Actually, didn't they? I think there was a record that they had like eight top 40 singles in 94, and it was like the most top. I can't remember. It was something like that. They had loads of singles off that album.
Yes, yeah.
Alice, what's the matter? Alice, what's the matter? Something about you really puts me down. You're the wife of the party. What's the matter, Alice? What's the matter?
Event of the year, we've got Reading Festival, Glastonbury Festival, Cobain Suicide. Well,
That's poor taste.
yeah, I mean,
That's
it
not
wasn't
an
the
event. I mean,
event,
it
but
is an event, but it's not that.
no,
Oh.
yeah, exactly. Not going to put like the Rwandan genocide, are you? The Criminal Justice Bill, that was a big deal back in
That was a
the
big deal.
'90s.
I was in London. Funnily enough, when they had the massive demo about that, Kill the Bill and all that, I was in London with my family. We were just like we'd been to like I don't know, just sightseeing or shopping or something. And we came down into Trafalgar Square just after it finished, and it was like carnage. And I remember finding a huge poster placard thing that someone had like dumped on the ground. And it was in my bedroom for like the next 2 or 3 years. Like this huge like Kill the Bill, like anti-Tory, like whatever it was, which I mean, I can't. It was bizarre. It was a bizarre thing to for like a 15-year-old kid to like drag home from London. Man, God knows what my parents thought of me dragging it around London and sticking it in the car.
But you
Weird.
felt so anti-establishment, didn't you? That
Oh, I was. Yeah, that's it. This is it. I would have, except I would have been a bit like Rick from The Young Ones. Shut up.
it's like, oh, did you go on the march? No, I went to Madame Tussauds with my parents, and I picked it
It.
up on the way back.
And then we went to the Disney store, so my brother and sister could buy a whatever. I probably
So rock and
didn't
roll.
take it in the Disney store. I'm thinking about it. Jesus Christ.
a mate of mine. He would like we would get drunk and come home from the pub, and he would like try and nick road signs, like just
Yeah.
try and yank road signs off of like rope
Yeah.
poles and things. And he was like, oh, desperate to get one that said at any time,
Right.
like parking at any
Yeah.
time, because then
Yeah.
he was like, look, because if I can get that and put that over my bed, if I ever get a girl in my bedroom, definitely going to get a shag out of her because they'll see
Oh,
that at
definitely.
any time. Yeah, don't think it worked.
Probably not. Is he still a virgin now?
Yeah, he is actually. No, he's not actually. To be fair, he's done all right. He did all right.
Yeah.
there you go. What else was there? Criminal Justice Bill. Yeah, that makes me think of the CD booklet of Music for the Jilted Generation.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember? It's got like a big picture. It's like an art piece, and it's like an anti, against the bill picture. And there's like a hippie. There's like a big sort of bridge, I think, and the hippie's like cutting the bridge, the rope bridge, because the cops are on the other side and they're going to come over and stop the rave. And the hippie,
Ah,
and he's flicking the V's at the cops. Yeah,
yeah.
that just makes me think of that.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. What have we got? Where were we? Event of the year. Blur at Ali Pali. The
Yeah, that
World
was big.
Cup 94 was a
Yeah.
big one. Bernard leaving Suede.
That was massive, wasn't it? Crikey, that was massive news for a few weeks.
Big deal, yeah. And obviously connected with you know, well, and then we had, well, the big thing for me around that time as well was all like the Justine stuff, like the love triangle with Justine and
Yeah.
like proper soap opera stuff. Justine and Brett and Damon, fantastic. And then Liam trying to shag her as well. That was funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then from the sublime to the ridiculous, the IRA ceasefire at number eight.
Yeah, I mean, I and again, I think that's one of the things that we don't really think about it anymore, but you do actually, when you think back, how massive that whole like IRA thing was in the 90s, like the bombing campaign. I mean, like we would go into London and like you sort of like there was always a risk that something bad could happen. It didn't stop you, but
Absolutely.
it was big, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, and that's the thing. My you know, because my dad's Irish and like and he looks like a Sinn Féin guy because he's like he had a mustache and like, you know, and it was like that. Oi, James, is your dad in the IRA? It's like, fuck off. Like that. It's like, yes, he is, but he's, you know,
Yes, we have a Kalashnikov in the living room. Yes.
yes, I have, you know, yeah, and then, and well, and then for me, my family's from Omagh in County Tyrone,
Oh,
which is
right.
where the big Omagh bomb was
Yeah.
a couple of years later. And so yeah, that was shocking. That was really, you know, for me, that was like, no one, thankfully, no one in my family died, but like, you know, quite a lot of people that we knew from the family died, you know, like, oh,
Right.
that, yeah. So that was, and then, but ultimately, that ended up being like the event that people went, no more. You know what I mean? That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, I
I
suppose.
think
And
it
so
probably
after
was,
that,
yeah.
it was all over. So, anyway, back to the Britpop
Yeah.
silliness.
Yeah, quite heavy here. This is a
Yeah,
heavy
wasn't.
conversation.
Yes. And then we've got Phoenix Festival at 9 and the new Stone Roses at 10. You ever go to the Phoenix Festival? That was it was a
No, I didn't.
couple of years, wasn't it?
It was massive, wasn't it? It was the first, I think it was the first festival that ever did 4 nights.
Wow.
They prided themselves on the fact they actually could do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when most of the festivals would do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They managed to
Yeah.
squeeze a fourth night on. But it was
Wow.
on like you hear horror stories because it was on like basically like a massive old aerodrome, wasn't it? So it was just a giant concrete slab in the middle of nowhere, which apparently on a couple of the hot years, people were just baking to death because it
Jesus.
was just like concrete and there was no water and it was huge traffic jams. So yeah, there's some real horror stories about Phoenix actually. So I'm kind of glad
Wow.
I never went, but
I'm just having a look at the lineup now, actually, on 1994. Yeah, you had like, see, this is interesting, isn't it? Because this is like the pre, this does it, it's all these sort of pre-Britpop bands that kind of just didn't were around, and some of them like the Charlatans and Blur sort of were around Britpop and then sort of carried on and were like accepted, whereas then a lot of them weren't. So if you look at Phoenix, it's got Wonder Stuff,
Yeah.
Carter USM,
Yeah.
Pop Will Eat Itself, like Osric
All that
Tattoo,
Grebo Fraggle type thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
Ned's Atomic Dustbin, you know, like.
Ned's Atomic Dustbin, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of those bands, like, and then you've got like In Spiral Carpets, Mother Earth, all these people were big, but just never really kind of, you know, they just weren't accepted by the Britpop, you know, thing.
No, it's funny, isn't it? Because when Britpop first started, Wonder Stuff was still quite a big thing, like amongst like my mate's older brothers, you know, like they all had that long hair and with the undercut and wore like DM boots that they didn't do the laces up on, you know, all that sort of crap.
I love it.
It was an awful look. And I never really liked the music of the Wonder Stuff from those bands. It never really did anything for me. And I wasn't actually surprised or bothered when it all sort of fell apart. But yeah, that whole like Grebo movement, it just wasn't cool, was it? I don't think.
No, it's funny. I'm just looking at the some of the smaller stage lineups. You've got like the Saturday on the Vox stage. You've got Marion, Cast, My Life Story, Divine
Yeah.
Comedy, Terry Hall, The Beautiful South. That's not bad, is it?
Not bad, is it? And that's the future. See, that's the future coming through there, isn't it? Although
Absolutely.
those smaller Britpop bands who would then sort of become mainstays for the next 2 or 3 years.
Love it. Love
Yeah.
it. Love it. Cool. All right. Where were we then? We were at event of the year. That's done. Most
Oh,
despicable record.
it's the best one next. Most
Most
despicable
despicable
record.
record. We've got Wet, 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 Love Is All Around.
Yeah, that's shit.
We've got Wakefield Saturday Night.
That's shit.
Oh my God, that was just so everywhere. It's
My
just
wife still can do the dance to that, but
oh dear,
that's her
dear,
problem, not mine.
dear. Trouble by Shampoo. How strange. I thought that would have been voted the best single.
Oh, Shampoo. Well, yeah, because they were such a big band and they were so good. Shit.
No, I mean, to be fair, no, they were shit.
They were
Yes.
just, they were just, I don't know, they were so kitsch and so naff that I
Yeah.
think some people would love them because of that, but they were just crap. They
Yeah.
were just absolute rubbish.
I've been out all night,
Yeah.
man,
It's
yeah.
embarrassing. I can't
Yeah.
listen to it. It makes me cringe. Oh, it's a
And
great
even
song.
the follow-up, there's like, 'cause we've got girl power.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. Like, I've got nothing wrong with sort of, female-fronted bands, female bands. Like, that was a massive part of Britpop. So
Yeah.
it's not like a sexist thing at all, because we're talking about like Echo Belly and Sleeper and like even like watching Sophie Ellis-Bextor the other night. It's like, oh, the audience, great
Yeah.
band, good album.
Yeah.
So there was loads of female-fronted bands. So it's not like, oh well, if you don't like Shampoo, you're just a chauvinist pig. No, like they were just crap. You know what I mean?
And the weird thing was that they started out, they're sort of like their first foray into the world of music was writing a fanzine for the Manics, wasn't it? They were
Yes.
like, how do you go from writing a Manics fanzine to churning out the most naff bubblegum crap pop that's ever been played in this bloody country? It's just bizarre. I don't understand it.
Yeah,
Why
and
didn't
they were
they
even
do
in
something
the.
that sounded like the Manics, for God's sake? Or,
They were in the Little Baby Nothing video, aren't they?
yes, I just it blows my tiny mind.
You'd think they would have got like the Manics to produce the album, and actually made it like really interesting and cool and
Exactly.
still like they could have been like Kinnicky. You know what I
Yes,
mean? That would have worked.
that would have worked. Yeah,
Yeah, Funker
very,
and
very
like
strange,
all
very
that stuff.
strange.
Very weird. Anyway, so they're shit.
Not that I ever talk about shampoo. I'm very, it's one of the things I don't ever mention.
I don't even know this. Abigail Smells Like Teen Spirit. So
Well, assuming it's some awful cover version,
I'm
but
assuming it is.
I can't remember it.
No idea, but I'll be dropping in a clip
So you
here.
find a clip of that, we can enjoy that. We won't enjoy it because it'd be shite, but.
Well, thankfully, this is for the future people who are listening to this that will hear it, but we don't have to hear it. Although I'm going
No.
to have to hear it to edit it in. So, oh God.
You'll have to sit, you'll have to listen to it a few times where you find the right bit of it as
To find
well.
the right clip. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
Oh, I
thank
bet it's awful. We'll
God.
enjoy that.
And then we've got Pato Banton, Baby Come Back. I
Oh,
didn't
that's a
know that back
banger.
then. That was a
Baby,
good
come
song.
back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
I've
there was
heard
quite a
worse.
lot. There was quite a lot of that sort of reggae kind
Yeah,
of
that's sort of,
like
yeah.
Snow Informer, Chakadimas and Pliers. That was quite big around
Yeah.
93, 94.
Was Charles and Eddie? Was that another one? Look,
Would I Lie to You?
Would I Lie to You? Yeah, all that. It's not really reggae, I suppose, is
no,
it?
No, it's not really the reggae-ish side.
No.
I mean, that's just your typical pop. But yeah, there was quite a few, like Bitty McLean. it was like a funny time where there was quite a few like reggae dance.
Yeah.
Shabba Ranks had a couple of hits, didn't they? Mr. Love.
Shabba Ranks.
Shabba.
Why hasn't someone done a podcast series about Shabba Ranks?
That's it. Shabba. Well, you have to do a Shabba ranking.
Shabba ranking.
Rank every Shabba Ranks album.
Yeah. How many are there, I wonder? Like two?
Well, I don't even want to know.
I'm gonna look into that.
We've got after that we've got Bon Jovi Always.
Oh, I hate Bon Jovi. I hate Bon Jovi. For everyone listening out there, I hate Bon Jovi. There we go, I said it.
But I don't mind a couple of like Bon Jovi songs, but like Always, I will love you always. It was just one of those. It was always on top of the box. Like,
oh, yes, so and they have awful hair, and they wear leather trousers and leather waistcoats, and they don't do their shirts up, and oh, it's just naff crap. Fucking hate it.
All right, mate.
Anyway, yeah.
You took the gem out of your donut.
John Bon Jovi, that's who.
Then where we've got number seven, we've got Sure by Take That.
I don't think which one that is, but okay, yeah.
You're so sure.
Oh, yeah.
At my dog.
That is rubbish, yeah. How do you know that so well?
Well, I often think of it when I'm one of those people that when I watch.
You're spraying your deodorant on.
Yes, exactly. When I watch football, like if every time Alisson gets the ball, I go, Alisson, my name is true. And every time Luke Shaw gets the ball, which isn't very often because he's always injured.
Yes, true.
He gets the ball and they'll go, sure. And I'll go, sure, so sure. And it's like, I just can't help it. It's just like a tick. So,
memo to never watch football with you.
No, it's an unpleasant experience. and then at eight, we've got Doop.
Do you remember that?
Doop. Yeah, it was just like a Charleston thing, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, like a really high sped up thing. Oh, it was awful.
That was dreadful. Nine was Park Life by Blur, and joint nine was Suede Dogman Star.
I don't understand. There's obviously some very grumpy Melody Maker fans who had some axes to grind there.
Anti the foppish kind of. Maybe was there much back? I'm just trying to think. Was there much backlash against Dogman Star after the first Suede album? I don't think so. Was there?
I think no, not that I can recall, but I think. Some people didn't like the fact that it was so, some of the tunes are so long, like Asphalt World and stuff. Yeah. It was in places, it was very overblown, but I quite like it. But yeah, I suspect there's some hardcore Suede fans who just wanted more versions of Animal Nitro or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose it's almost like they're Be Here Now, really, isn't it? It's like big and overblown and kind of long songs and quite ambitious.
A lot of solos and yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Come to my arms tonight, you and me together under electric light. We will dance in the poison dance, just you and me forever by the melt away there. Stand together, let's stand, we stand in love. Yeah, so that's Most Despicable Record. And then a couple of, let's just throw these in as well. They're not music related, but it's interesting to look back. So Best TV Show. We've got Knowing Me, Knowing You. Brilliant. So that's the first season of Alan Partridge when he's doing his chat show.
Yeah.
Brilliant. MTV 120 Minutes, which I don't really remember. Was that just like the indie alternative show, like before they had MTV 2, do you remember? I didn't have MTV in 94.
No, I don't think we did. No.
No, I had to go around my mate. It's actually my mate that had the At Any Time sign across his. He was the one that who had like Sky TV, you know, because I'm exactly the same age as Rishi. So when he was like, you know, that famous like, "Oh, well, what did you go without?" He's like, "Well, Sky TV." I was like, "Yes, Rishi." I was like,
Yeah.
"Same here." I was like, "Dad, please, can we have Sky TV?" It's like,
That's
"No,
right.
sir."
Yeah.
But yeah, so I presume that was their like indie alternative show
Think it might have been,
before
yeah.
MTV Two came out. Have I got news for you, Brookside?
Still go Have I got news for you? Still going today?
It will go in today. Yeah, Brookside.
Brookside,
Wow.
yeah.
I thought Brookside was dead by the mid-90s. It carried on, obviously carried on a bit longer. Ren and Stimpy,
Yeah.
which is that messed up like animated show, wasn't it?
The
I hate that.
Chihuahua and the
Is
what
it a
was the
cat?
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
It's just so freaky, like veins popping out and eyes popping out.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it. It still gives me the creeps today.
Yeah.
Don't like Ren and Stimpy. Cracker, that Robbie
The
Coltrane
Robbie
one.
Coltrane one, yeah. That was big. That was
That was
big.
massive at the time. Later with Jules, still
Still
going.
going, still brilliant, although can be a bit weird and wonderful.
Yeah. The Day Today, definitely
Very weird,
holds up.
very
Amazing.
funny.
Absolutely love The Day Today.
Nonsense.
Red Dwarf, nonsense. Well, that was Brass Eye the
Oh,
spin-off.
that was Brass
Yeah,
Eye, wasn't it? Yeah.
but yeah, I love The Day Today. Still, every now and then I'll just like,
I get them mixed up. Yeah, I get them
clips
sort
of
of.
Day Today.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
What ho, I'm Suki Babswent. Uh-oh. Now go wow for the latest sounds from Nirvana. They've been commissioned to do the music behind the new Panty Smile sanitary products campaign. Okay, boys, hit me with those ultra pants.
Once a month, you'll become a slave to a tidal wave. Yeah, body's little clock could mess up your frock, but Panty Smile's a lovely thing. It absorbs everything. You can wear them in the high screens, body contours, very discreet, and the comfort you won't believe, cause the top sheet is a dry weave. Yeah.
And then Red Dwarf at 9,
Yeah.
which I don't know what year this, it probably would have been like Red Dwarf 4 or 5, I would have thought around
Probably
there.
by then, yeah.
Yeah, which I tell you what, I went back because I loved Red Dwarf and sort of gave up probably around season 6 or 7 or something. I think when they brought Kachansky in and stuff, I'm like, oh no, I'm not bothered. But I still thought, oh no, well, like if you go back and watch like Red Dwarf like 2, 3, 4, 5, they're still brilliant. But I went back and watched a couple of them a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, I don't really think these have held up that well, actually. Or maybe I was just because I was 15, I thought it was the most hilarious thing in the world. But
Funny, because myself and my wife were saying, because like my 12-year-old has got the right sense of humor for Red Dwarf now. And we were saying, should we start? Because we've got the box set. Should we start like going through the box set with him? So I might be able to report back and see what I think of it.
there you go. That's the podcast, mate. You've got to podcast it if you're
I've
going to
got a
do it.
podcast. Yeah.
With the Red Dwarf episode by episode guide.
I haven't got time, mate. I haven't got time for this stuff.
Oh, there we go. So Red Dwarf, and then Harry Enfield at 10. I mean,
That was brilliant. That
Harry
was,
Enfield was my favorite,
yeah.
100%. Harry
Yeah.
Enfield would have been number one for me in 1994. I remember it being, because it was on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock. I remember it being like, what day is it? Tuesday. Yes, I need 2 more days to go to Harry Enfield. Like, I loved it so much. So,
Yeah.
yeah. And so when the as I've talked about here on a few times, like when the Perry Goes to Manchester episode came on, I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna get it tomorrow at school, and
Yeah.
I did.
They did such a, I mean, it was such a brilliant send-up of it, wasn't it? For like the
Oh.
really extreme people who did sort of go OTT on the whole Oasis thing.
Yeah,
It was so
guilty.
well done.
Yeah. I mean, did you have that in your school? I mean, you've got the you haven't got the dark hair, but did you have a full-on Britpop cut around this time?
No, I never had a Britpop. Like the feather cut, whatever they called it, or the weller. I never had one, and I at the time I sort of regretted it. I thought I should have probably had a really cool hairdo, but I never did, which is which is a shame, but actually it means there's no like serious skeletons in my closet to look back on, I guess.
Whereas I just stuck with it for the last 30 years, so it's fine.
Oh, you're rocking it, mate. You're rocking
it. Of course. Well, I'm still lucky. Well, we're still both still lucky to actually have some hair. It's not, you know, a lot of our generation don't anymore. So, you know.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Thankfully, we've still got it, still rocking it. and then finish off. So we've got best radio show, evening session. RIP, you know,
yeah.
Future Sounds, which is a bunch of shit. Mark Radcliffe at 2, John Peel at 3. Well, actual RIP, you know, he's actually dead.
Well, yeah.
Essential Selections.
It rings a bell, but I can't think what that is.
Essential Selections. I think that might have been like the Sunday night show or something. I'm not sure. Essential Selections, Mark Goodyear, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and then what have we got? Chris Morris. Yeah, because he had his radio show before the day today.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know at the time, to be fair. And then Pete Tong, still on Radio 1 now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Gary Crowley, legend. I've been
still doing. Yeah. He still does his Radio London show, doesn't he, the weekend?
Still Radio London. And big in Oasis world because he actually did the first ever Oasis TV interview.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the one where they're sat there with like in a guitar shop with guitars around.
Yes.
Liam's like just talking nonstop all the way. And you can see Noel thinking like, fucking shut up, Liam.
Man, that was before the club had even opened. There was a couple of people hanging about. McGee was one of them. And it just something just hit him, man, or whatever. Don't know.
That's the stuff of sort of fairy tales, though, really, isn't it?
But I mean, it's the truth and no one believes us.
And it's funny, James, you think back to that time. Kind of forgotten sometimes, but you know, doing interviews on television and radio for you know, alternative indie bands, you know, whatever you want to call them, it still wasn't, I'm not sure if it still is now, actually, if the truth be told, but it you know, a lot of bands didn't enjoy that that side of what they, you know, of what they had to do in a way, really, whereas Noel and Liam, you could see were in their element. But
yeah, he's a really nice guy, Gary, as well, isn't he? He's like one of the good guys in life, I think.
He's amazing. Yeah, you see him, he's so good on social media. And I say, I've loved interviewing him. I absolutely loved it. It's such a pleasure when I interviewed him.
Do you remember you used to do that TV program, The Beat, where they'd record like live gigs at the Astoria and then put them on at like 1 o'clock in the morning on ITV or something?
Oh,
and I always say to Gary, I say, you need to get those tapes, whatever, and like get them onto like the internet or something, because there is like whole gigs of like Britpop and rock bands, and he said it's like he wants to do it, but ITV have got it all like tied up and he can't get hold of it.
That'd be so amazing, isn't it, when you've got all these things out there that are like for years, like Ready Steady Go from the 60s,
it just
wasn't there because, you know, sort of these horrible rights issues that it's just all tied up.
Yeah.
Like, come on, like you can put it on a streaming service, like it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. And then we've got Steve Wright, who, you know, died a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, probably.
Yeah.
18 months ago, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Nick Abbott. Don't know Nick.
No, I'm struggling there.
Yeah, don't know Nick Abbott. Maybe it was like a Radio London thing, I suppose. And then Simon Mayo, still going, but like Greatest Hits Radio and stuff. I suppose he was, I think he might have been the breakfast show host.
He did the breakfast show, didn't he? Because he used to have that jingle, Mayo, Mayo, works until lunchtime, so we're off to rob his house.
Yeah, but I remember like, because Steve Wright was like when they came in around this time, didn't they, and just culled all of like the Dave Lee Travis and all
that. That's
them.
It, yeah.
But like Steve Wright was so big that they couldn't really get rid of him. He's still along for a few more years. But
yes.
Yeah, I loved it. Well, there we go. So that was like the Reader's Poll 1994. So it is over 30 years ago. That was what we were talking about. And any final thoughts?
Just that 1994 was just an amazing year, wasn't it? And we were lucky enough to live it as teenage kids. And I just don't think we really always appreciate how lucky we are, how lucky that our parents had us in the late 70s. So we came into our teenage years in that early 90s, because bloody hell, what a time to be young.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, very lucky. Very lucky. Yeah. There you go. All right, mate. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, no, lovely to see you again on the old Zoom. See your beautiful face.
And enjoy the free business dinners and lunches as you're on your little holiday work trip.
I call it a work trip. Yeah. Yeah, a couple more days of the Scottish Islands, and then I'll be back home to Oxfordshire to be reunited with Britpop CDs, and I'll be happy again.
All right, not the family, no, but the Britpop.
Oh, yeah, sorry, and the wife and the children. Oh, yes, I'm having those as well.
Yes. All right, all the best, mate. And just remind the kids where they can find you across all the social media platforms.
Just look for @BritpopMemories everywhere. I use the same handle for all of them. So, yeah, you'll find me. I'm hanging around chatting stuff about the old days.
Flagging off shampoo occasionally.
Maybe once a day.
All the best, man. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate. All right. Bye. Unshakeable, 'cause we know.